When things get tough, and you know, they definitely get tough no matter, I don't care how big you are, you can still, you are still going to be vulnerable at times, you know, whether you like it or not. And there are going to be times when you feel knocked down. And I think just something you have to remember is, you know, what are you doing all of this for? You know, are you doing this for yourself? Are you doing this for your family? Are you doing this for your friends? Are you doing it just for fame, vanity? Never forget where you came from. You know, whenever I'm feeling a low, I always remember, why did I start all this? You know, well, why did I begin this journey? And, you know, to me, yes, I do want a career in film, but more or less at the same time, I want to be able to create things I'm passionate about, while at the same time being able to help and provide for my loved ones, you know, friends, impact people, and, you know, teach people good things, and that there is still some good in this world, you know, through my videos or whatnot. And when I think about that, and I think about things that I have accomplished with those goals in mind, then I kind of get a little reignited, you know, with the spark, it's a little bit reignited, and I think to myself, you know what, I've come this far, you know, I can't let this keep me down, you know, I'm going to keep going, and I'm not going to stop, you know, because if I stop, then the whole dream is wasted.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, what's up? In this episode, I talk with Terry Song, who's YouTuber, influencer, and he goes by the name of Terry TV on his YouTube channel. He has over 1.7 million subscribers. He's grown his channel through making reaction videos, and that's initially how he was able to go big. And now he's starting to make his own unique original content in the form of animation about himself. So Terry's animating himself in these animations and talking about experiences and stories that he's had in his life. So it's really cool. Go check it out at Terry TV on YouTube. He's pretty big in the Asian influencer space as well. Also, his Instagram is Terry Song TV. You know, a big thing that I've learned from this episode was that, you know, some of the ways that you can become an influencer is by capitalizing on trends that are going on. So for Terry, that was reaction videos, and that's how he's able to grow his following. And now he's making his own original, unique content, so people will actually want to listen to what he has to say. So there's several things that, you know, we talk about that are little hacks that you can grow your following and, you know, make a name for yourself. And we also talk about why Terry started YouTube in the first place. It wasn't for the money or the fame, but his passion for filming, directing, you know, creating, you know, stories that would move people and uplift people. And that's what he's doing now. So it was really cool to be able to talk with Terry and film in his studio in Korea. There's a full video on it. You guys can check it out on YouTube on the Social Ray Podcast. And also, if you guys want to sign up for my mailing list so to get, you know, updates on the latest things happening, you can sign up. It's in the description box of this podcast. And also, I have a course on Instagram on how to increase your engagement. So if you're interested in that, send me a DM on my personal Instagram at ray.ahn, and I'll send you more info on that. So yeah, thanks guys for listening, and hope you enjoyed this interview with Terry Song.
All right, Terry, welcome to the interview.
It's good to be here. Thanks for being here in my house.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's good
me
to
over.
Be in my house.
Yeah. And thanks for letting us, you know, record in your studio. And so I just want to give a quick background of who you are to those watching if they don't know you. And so you're a YouTuber, but you used to be an English teacher. You grew up in Pittsburgh, and you're half Korean, half Caucasian. And now you're living in Korea. It's been 3 years. You were teaching English before. And then you started doing YouTube, and then you reached your first 100,000 subscribers. And after that, you left your teaching to do YouTube full time. And yes, now you're at 1 million subscribers, which is pretty impressive within a couple years. So, I just want you to kind of tell people about where you grew up and just how you first got started into this into social media and YouTubing.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Ray. And wow, sounds like you watch my videos more than I watch them. But it's been a long time coming, I will say that. I remember still to this day when I left Pittsburgh to come to Korea. My YouTube channel had like 200 or 300 subscribers that I had garnered just from making silly little skits and videos from my days back in college. And in the back of my mind, I always thought I would do something on YouTube, but I don't know what I would do. You know, I majored in film. I knew I wanted to get to LA eventually. I knew I wanted to make something of myself in something related to my field, which is making movies or making TV series or making videos. So when I made the choice to move to Korea after college, it wasn't just to move there to teach English. I mean, a big part of it was to see my folks, well, see my mom's family over there. A big part of it was to learn a little bit of the language, see the culture, explore it, see my mother's family. But at the same time, I needed to buy myself time to figure out what it was I wanted to do. And so that was kind of the decision I made, was to go to Korea and kind of figure myself out. And I told myself, hey, I'm an avid YouTube watcher. I love watching Nigahiga. I love watching David So. I like all these Wong Fu videos. You know, like, I want to be like that someday, but I don't know how. But I told myself I'd do something with YouTube during my year in Korea, and that's what I did. You know, essentially I started from just making Koreans React To, which was my first hit series, which was basically just interviewing native Korean people, asking them what their thoughts on about American pop or about things that were going viral in American culture, why Americans found it funny, what do these Korean people think of it. And then at the same time, I would also sometimes interview Native Americans who were living in Korea or just visiting and ask them, hey, what do you think about these top trends in Korea? And, you know, for a year, I did that. I grinded. I tried to put out a video, you know, like 3-4 times a month, you know, almost every week, at the same time having a full-time, you know, 9-to-5 teaching gig. And it was a struggle, but, you know, there was some overlying goal, you know, dangling in front of me, you know, like a dangling clause is what we call it in the film world, and that's basically what your protagonist is trying to achieve throughout the film. And for me, my own dangling clause was to eventually get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, if that was possible. I told myself, if you can get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of your one-year contract, then you'll go full-time. If not, then either teach another year and eventually make it, or just go back to the States and start your film career somehow. Now, I didn't know how I was ever going to start a career related to my degree, making videos, making movies, making films, whatever. I knew I wanted to, but I didn't know how I was going to start. Most people, when they graduate from film school, what do? They move out to LA, they get like the bottom of the barrel job as a production assistant, they try to build up a little resume, and you know, it's a lot of ass kissing, and that it could take 10 years or more, give or take. I mean, you might get your big break. It might be the person that you know who knows this person, who knows this person, who introduced you to someone else. You know, that's Hollywood. That's the entertainment biz. I didn't want to have to go through all those leaps and struggles, at least not at that time. You know, I wanted to, I don't know, see if there was another avenue.
Yeah, and then that's how you got into YouTubing. And
so that's how, yeah, that's how I got into YouTube, because I figured, you know what, one day, if I could make something of myself on YouTube to the point where I have an active and loyal following, you know, if I ever want to do something like, well, I was very inspired by this project that Wong Fu Productions did, where they started like a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe or something to make a full feature-length movie, and how do they raise all this money to make a movie? They had a loyal following, right? Not anybody can just start a Kickstarter and raise thousands of dollars to make your dream movie, right? You need people to back you up. You need loyal supporters. And that's when I realized the power of social media. That's when I realized the tool and you know the effects that it can actually have in a career like this. And I thought, how can I utilize that? You know, how can I essentially get myself to where Wong Fu is? You know, where they're crowdfunding their own movies. So, in the back of my mind, that was always kind of what I wanted to do. Where I wanted to be.
Yeah. And now you're making short film animations. Before you used to do like reaction videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's how you gain traction, but now you're actually making your own short animations, which is pretty cool.
It's funny, yeah. I would say nowadays I'm doing what I really, really enjoy doing. But I mean, I've been doing YouTube full time for like the last 2 years, and I've been doing YouTube altogether for 3 years. And I would say now, if you look at my channel now, yes, I do make the animation short films, and I'm very happy with them. I really enjoy making them. I have a lot of fun making them. I work with a small team. I have a main illustrator. I have an assistant. I have a first assistant illustrator, and then I have two assistant artists that help out. And we, you know, have meetings every week. We talk about the videos. We go through it. You know, I usually write out the story or a beat sheet. Then I film it right here, actually, where we're sitting, edit it together, a rough cut, send it to them, have them watch it, then we meet and we break down the storyboarding together. My point is, I didn't used to do that, you know? I didn't used to have these meetings with multiple people. I didn't used to work with anybody. I used to do everything by myself, you know? I used to edit, produce, film, contact people to interview, and it was a lot of work, and I could only make these videos again once a week.
But now, I mean, like, you've come a long way since then, obviously.
And it's been a long time coming. Yes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people look at you and they think, I mean, they look up to you, and also they think, wow, this guy is doing what he loves and is making money from it, and it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people, not many people do what they love and are able to make money from it, but then that's what you've been able to do. So kind of like how can people find their passion, and how could they find a way to pursue it in a way that can make money also, but also, you know, they're doing what they love?
There's a lot of different avenues to take, and there's a lot of different things and forms of content that you could make if you want to be a social media influencer. You know, they call it social. If it was just YouTube, they would call it just being a YouTuber. But there are so many different avenues you can take to becoming a social media star or influencer or whatever you want to call it. Now, you might find your passion in something that makes you zilch, right? Well, then again, you might find something that you're not passionate about making you a ton of money on YouTube, right? I can't tell you how many YouTubers I've come across that are making like the most terrible type of content that I've ever seen, but they're making a lot of money, and I think to myself, how can they actually be happy making this type of content, right? I mean, this is something that I personally would not ever see myself making. It's like bottom of the barrel stuff in my eyes. No offense, but content like that is out there. You'll see it for yourself if you watch YouTube enough like me. And I think to myself, wow, well, you know, money speaks its own language, you know? Some people will do things just for the money, whether they're passionate about it or not. And then again, you will come across those people that are very, very passionate about something, but they're not necessarily getting the views or the traction or whatever. Then you might see something remarkable, where you might see that person who was struggling but grinding their way months and months and months, maybe years, doing the same thing that they're passionate about, and then all of a sudden the algorithm on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, social media is so unpredictable, sometime they might just be shown in the spotlight, right? Uncontrollable to their own actions, right? They just might get recommended everywhere. They might just start to go viral. They might just start to blow up, and then boom, they're on the map. I've seen a lot of people get exposure that way and just make a career out of themselves that way. So it's really hard to say what exactly to do. If you want to be successful, do something that you're passionate about. But I would say the hardest part is getting started. You know, at least do something that you know will get some traction. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you at least somewhat enjoy doing, that you can do for now, that you know maybe eventually you can transition a little bit more to what you really are passionate about. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Here's a good example. On YouTube, there's a lot of musicians, right? There's a lot of people that like to sing. Everybody wants to be a singer these days, right? Apparently. Every YouTuber wants to be a singer and release music, okay? So think about it this way. If those YouTubers did not have a following, if they weren't big YouTubers, who's going to watch their original music? No one, right? But if they're like, if they started from the very beginning, right? They had like maybe 2, 1, or 0 subscribers, and they just posted their original music, it doesn't matter how good that music is. It could be the best song ever made. No one's going to watch it because no one's going to find it because no one knows who you are. How do you get started like that? You make covers. You make covers of other people's songs because people are searching for that, right? So what is that doing? That's doing exactly what I said, right? Take something that's trendy that you're somewhat at least passionate about and eventually find a way to keep doing that to grow and eventually transition to something that you really are passionate about. Yeah. And that's what I've essentially done by making reaction videos and now making my animated films.
Yeah.
It's not always about how much you can put out, but it's about what you can put out each time. Yeah. So when I, back to your previous question, when you asked me if I experienced any dips in like revenue or sub growth, and I said, yeah, that was when I went full-time YouTube right after my teaching contract. I stopped doing the Koreans React series and I started doing reactions using my own face, and I started reacting to a whole bunch of videos, because back then, making the Koreans React, I could only upload a video like once or twice a week. And it didn't matter if it was once, twice, three times a week. I'd only get like 10, 20, 30, maybe 50,000 views a video. And that's really not a lot to survive full-time. But by making videos of me, I could make by myself. I didn't have to contact multiple people. I could output much faster. I could make 2-3 videos a day. And so that was my goal. At least make enough money to pay my rent, to pay for Max's dog food. Yeah. So that became my goal, was just to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Your mind, when you're faced with, you know, crazy circumstances, your mind kicks into survivor mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And you will do what you have to do to just survive, at least, to put bread on the table. And that's kind of where my head was at.
Okay.
I was, but you can't let it get to your head is another very important thing, because that's kind of what happened to me for like the last year and a half, 2 years, because I was so focused on, I got a big explosion of growth that next month by using my own face, making a lot of videos by myself. I got 100,000 subscribers the next month. Previous month was 5,000. Next month, 100,000. Next month, another 100,000. And then the next month it dipped down to 30, and then 20, and then 30, and then 50, and then 40, and you know, it consecutively up and down, averaging around 30, 40,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kept chasing that dream, that goal of, can I get 100,000 monthly subs again? And I did that for a year, but then I realized after a year and a half, 2 years of doing this, you know, it's now my third year on YouTube, I'm not passionate about just putting out content. Now I've realized, you know, I forgot where I started. I was passionate about quality over quantity. You know, that's why I made the Koreans React too. That was a much more, I would say, quality series than just making reaction videos every day. They were harder to make. So, you know, it all goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, when you're starting out, you got to do what you got to do to get some new people to see your stuff, to to put yourself out there, and then eventually transition into something that you are more passionate about.
Yeah.
If I had never started doing the reaction videos with my own face, I never would have started reading my scary stories on my channel, because those in and of itself, I don't know if those of you guys that are my fans who are watching, you guys tell me how much you like my scary story series that I used to do. I never would have started that series if I hadn't done reaction videos, right? Because I'm reacting to those scary stories, essentially. And I would have never started my animations if I had never started reading those scary stories, right? Because those mangas inspired me to make my own sort of anime-esque animated stories on my channel. I thought to myself, I could do so much more than just read and react to stories. What about if I create stories? I mean, I'm a film major, for God's sake, yeah. right? I majored in screenwriting and directing. I should be able to do this.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to just what we were talking about earlier. You know, you gotta build up an active, loyal fan base, and eventually, if you are to the point where they will actually support you and they will go out of their way to watch the other kind of contents that you want to try out, the new kind of stuff,
yeah.
Then that's the best case scenario, because my old fans that started with me from the beginning mm. were kind and genuine and loyal enough to continue watching my new stuff, mm. that new stuff was able to get enough views to get recommended and to get into the search algorithm on YouTube and start to blow my channel up again.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing better than I ever have been because I took a chance and got out of my comfort zone and decided to create something and try something new.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out, you know, like a fairy tale or whatever. My
For sure.
circumstances cannot be used as an example and factual evidence to say, hey, I can do that too. I am just an example of what could happen when you're fortunate, when you work hard, when you have some luck on your side, and overall when you don't quit. So, but those are all things that I think are very important for any social media to know and to realize.
Okay. And I think, so you have 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, we're at 1.5 now.
So,
crazy.
Yeah, you got that YouTube button as well. So
yeah, well, I mean, right behind me, if you guys, anybody watching the video, I don't know about you guys listening, you guys can see this play button here is my silver play button representing when I passed 100,000 subs. I got this just a few months ago. YouTube was very late on sending it to me, but that plaque, I earned that technically 2 years ago when I got my 100,000 subs right after finishing my teaching contract. But recently, like you said, in the other room, Ray already saw it. I do have my gold play button, which represents 1 million subscribers,
yeah.
which I would put it here in the background, but it's too big. It's like twice as big as this silver one, and it's too big.
I was going to also ask, is there like a specific story that or a message you got that really impacted you, or kind of do you really remember that you got from a fan?
I made a video about it one time, and this was a few months ago. I think it was right after I hit 1 million subscribers. I made a video about it, and I was really, really touched by a couple different fans because this was during the week of KCON, mm-hmm. which is a big K-pop convention held in multiple different cities across the world, but I was at KCON Los Angeles. No, I'm sorry. I was at KCON New York, and I was really touched because several of my fans gave me some really nice letters, and some of them even gave me some doggy clothes for my dog Max, who was in the podcast earlier, for those of you guys just coming on. And I was really touched that people would go out of their way to actually get something for my dog, you know, to wear, to write a handwritten letter to me, and I was so touched by that. But I was also beating myself up because I had left that bag with those cards and that dog clothes on the guest room table, and I went out with some other influencer peers to go have dinner, and when we came back, they had cleaned out that room, and I thought they were going to leave that room open, you know, all day, but
they
took all the stuff, and I tried my hardest. I contacted the coordinator of KCON to see if she heard anything. I contacted my hotel Lost and Found. I contacted the KCON staff hotel Lost and Found. I contacted the owner of the restaurant where our guest room was sponsored at.
Yeah.
And I could not find that gift bag. So what I think what happened was someone took it home or just someone threw it away. But
yeah.
I really, you know, hurt me because I feel like I'm close to my viewers and I really appreciate them going out of their way to come see me and to give me a personal gift like that for my dog or a handwritten letter.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I never got to give it to Max and I never got to read the letter just really, really, you know, hurt me bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes for one of the most memorable stories about fan engagement, mm-hmm. you know, and it just tells you that, you know, we as influencers, we do care, and, you know, we are close to you guys, and we do really appreciate all the support that you give us, and your continued engagement with us, and that you follow us on different platforms, and keep up with us, and are willing to go the extra mile to do something like that, and I just felt terrible about it, but, you know.
Don't lose the next one.
Yeah, I won't lose the next one, but, you know, at the same time, you guys are very, a lot of them are very understanding, and so.
And it's crazy how, like, some of them never met you in person, but they still care so much, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. You shouldn't care that much about me. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I mean, we're, you know, we're going to wrap up a few last questions, but I think for you, like, why is it that you do what you do? I know you kind of shared a sort of film, but, like, what keeps you going when things get rough or when you feel like giving up? Like, what is your why?
When things get tough, and, you know, they definitely get tough no matter, I don't care how big you are, you are still going to be vulnerable at times, you know, whether you like it or not. And there are going to be times when you feel knocked down. And I think just something you have to remember is, you know, what are you doing all of this for? You know, are you doing this for yourself? Are you doing this for your family? Are you doing this for your friends? Are you doing it just for fame, vanity? Never forget where you came from. You know, whenever I'm feeling a low, I always remember, why did I start all this? You know, well, why did I begin this journey? And, you know, to me, yes, I do want a career in film, but more or less at the same time, I want to be able to create things I'm passionate about while at the same time being able to help and provide for my loved ones, you know, friends, impact people, and, you know, teach people good things, and that there is still some good in this world, you know, through my videos or whatnot. And when I think about that, and I think about things that I have accomplished with those goals in mind, then I kind of get a little reignited, you know, with the spark gets a little bit reignited, and I think to myself, you know what, I've come this far, you know, I can't let this keep me down, you know, I'm going to keep going, and I'm not going to stop, you know, because if I stop, then the whole dream is wasted, whole dream is lost, so awesome. Just got to remember what your cause is, you know, and that keeps you going.
So for you, your causes, what would you say?
Well, it's a mixture of things. You know, I love entertaining my viewers. I love putting out content that I'm passionate about. I love being able to do this as a job, to support myself and my family and my dog. But yeah, it's a mixture of things. I would say if I can show people and make people feel, you know, emotion as passionately as I felt when I, you know, watch movies and am moved emotionally by them, you know, if I can have that effect on people, I feel like I had accomplished one of the biggest goals of mine ever, because I was really inspired by the movie Gladiator, and I watched that in high school, and that's why I wanted to become a film director. I watched that movie and I was like, this is a masterpiece, you know, I felt so emotionally moved with that movie, the musical score, the cinematography, the direction, the acting, everything, just a combination. So, you know, if I can do that with my videos somehow and just move people, you know, then I'd be happy, you know, while at the same time being a good role model and, you know, doing it in a way that I can still, you know, do this full time, then I think that would be my ultimate goal and that would be my ultimate dream.
Awesome. I think, you know, you're already doing that, so just keep going and, yeah, keep at it.
That's the plan. We'll see how good. Check back next month. Hopefully I'm not on the street yet.
Yeah. With a million subscribers. And the last question would be if you could go back in time to your younger self, maybe, you know, when you're in high school and you kind of shared this in one of your videos when, you know, you're eating by yourself at this abandoned staircase, or during your senior year, you know, because of all the high school drama, or just maybe at a place when you felt hopeless or maybe just alone, like what is a piece of advice or what you'd give to yourself and something that you would go back in time to tell your younger self?
Ooh, my younger self. My younger self had struggled a lot in a lot of different ways, and first thing I would probably do is give my younger self a hug and probably tell him that, hey, it gets better, you know, and life moves forward. You know, a lot of people, when they're down, they don't think about, they're just stuck in the now, right? And anytime I get down, I think about the future, you know, because life is linear, because we live in a universe that's based on time, right, and space, continuum. I don't know why I'm getting all scientific, but the point is, you know, we're constantly moving forward in time, and that means things are bound to change, right? So if things are bound to change, that means you can't possibly be in this horrible situation forever, right? Time goes on, life moves by, things get better, and that's probably what I would tell my younger self, because, you know, eventually you're not going to be in high school forever, you're not going to be dealing with these bullies forever, and you're not going to be stuck here, you know, eating by yourself forever during your senior year. I mean, yeah, it was hell to put up with, but it got better, and I'm glad that I held strong and I was able to overcome my obstacles.
And now you're inspiring millions of viewers and people, no, just by you sharing.
Well, I don't know about million, maybe, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully. So
it's like, I acknowledge you for that. And, you know, we need more good role models like yourself and people willing to share. So,
thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
More than you know.
So, yeah, thanks so much, Terry, for sharing.
Thanks for having me in my house again.
Yeah, thanks for having me over.
No, but thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. And it was really cool getting to hang out here and just, you know, share my story and, you know, talk about stuff that I don't really get to talk about and don't really have the freedom to always talk about in my videos, you know, because, you know, they're kind of shortened by a 5 to 10 minute limit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a cool experience.
Yeah, we'll see you in LA in 1 year.
Sounds good. Yes, yeah. Check back with me if I'm still if I still am able to have a roof over my head.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I'll end with my last point about social media. I feel like I'm giving a keynote presentation to influencer marketing or something. But just one last little thing. Just because, you know, you have 1 million subscribers or 10 million guys or you have a big platform, that does not guarantee that you will last, okay, the test of time. I don't care how big you are, but nobody and nothing lasts forever. Maybe you can extend how long it'll last, but if you want to do that, you've really got to, you know, keep an eye on your situation and, I don't know, keep just doing what you're doing and keeping your fans happy, you know, because social media won't last forever. So, I mean, next month I could be homeless. Probably I won't, but it's that unpredictable. It's the wild, wild west out here. So, just another thing to keep in mind. Yeah. Just because you had one good month, don't think you're going to have another good year after that. It's unpredictable.
Always keep growing.
Yeah. And just always, watch your back.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, so I hope you enjoyed that interview with Terry TV and that you really got a lot of actionable tips and lessons from it. And remember that, you know, the hardest part in doing anything is starting. Just like Terry with his first subscriber and follower, you know, it takes time to build up, but if you keep going, if you keep pursuing your dreams, your goals, you're gonna get somewhere, especially if you don't give up. So I just wanna encourage you guys with that and go check out Terry's channel, Terry TV, and on Instagram, Terry Song TV, and me at Ray.on. And also remember to sign up for my email list if you want to stay up to date with the latest podcasts and things that I'm doing. And also if you're interested in the Instagram engagement boosting course, you can check that out as well by DMing me at Ray.on, and I'll send you info on that. So thanks guys for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.